Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman at the helm, HagmanReport.com. Remember, two ends on Hagman. I want to welcome everyone. Today is Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Yeah, Eric the Tech, this is actually a running joke. Eric has to, like, you know, prompt me with the day, date, and time. So what he did was he got me this magnanimous program clock to sit right below the camera because, you know, today is, you know, Thursday. Today is
the day of the week is gigantic.
So I don't say, like, you know, today's Monday, the first day of January of 1972, right? So anyway, regardless though, you know, hey, what can I tell you? Hey, I hope you're buckled in because I've got a great show lined up for you today. Joining me in the second segment is going to be Randy Taylor, somebody who you haven't heard from in a while, right? And he's going to be joining me for the longer segment. Now, this is, I want to tell you up front, because of some scheduling issues, this is being pre-recorded at a time when the jury is still out on the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Now, the reason I mentioned that up front is this. What I'm going to be talking about, I pretty much guarantee you, you've never, ever heard about or thought about. I'm going to be taking some history, combining with current events, and showing you an even bigger picture of what I believe is happening with respect to the Rittenhouse trial, with respect to some issues about that day in Kenosha. As a matter of fact, if you can, Eric the Tech, I didn't ask you this, and I meant to ask you this before showtime. If you can find a still image of the FBI drone footage from that Kenosha riot, because I want to show people this, because this has everything to do. This would be like Exhibit A in the bigger picture of things. Bleeding Kansas, Community Relations Service, FBI infiltration, FBI instigation. All of this combined is going to give you a bigger picture into what is taking place today, I believe. What's that? Let's see. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. All right. Just hold that for a moment. I'm not ready for that yet, but that's going to be used. It's kind of like Exhibit A. Just you can hold that. Okay. So, but I want to start off with today's show with this. Does the name Sharona Bishop mean anything to you? Probably not. Now, Leo Holman, who's been a guest on this program, on Worldview Weekend, Brandon House, along with Mike Lindell, they had her on as a guest yesterday. America's first mom raided by FBI since October 4th, Department of Justice memorandum. She fought against voter fraud, critical race theory, and forced masking in schools. Now, this is from Brandon's website. This is written by Leo Holman. This was published yesterday. And essentially what this is, and I'll just cite the first part of this. An FBI SWAT, and folks, and think about this in terms of you folks, of everyone listening to this broadcast. So an FBI SWAT team raided the home of a mother of three in Colorado on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. They busted her door down. They burst into the house. They handcuffed her. while she was homeschooling her children. Now think about this. Remember, the backstory here is Merrick Garland issues this memorandum saying we have to stop the threats, or we have to have this integration between federal and local law enforcement, because there's a lot of threats to school boards. It's never about the spoon. It's never about what they're telling you it's about. But okay, let's go with that for a moment. Let's continue with this. This is the first known case of federal government making good on its promise to not only intimidate, but actually carry out a raid on a mom who was involved in her local school board politics, said Brendan House. And again, look, Brendan House, and you can keep that up there, brother, for a while. Because the link will be in the program description box, and I really want people to go and read this article and spread this article everywhere you can. Again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And of course, we're on Rumble and Brighteon, where you can comment there. All right, but here's the essence of this, which will play into the larger picture of things. When the feds, in a similar takedown style to Roger Stone and others, which is kind of like a customary thing nowadays, right? They bust in her door. The only thing they didn't do is have CNN out in her front lawn. And that, of course, they don't want to have that. So Sharona Bishop, here she is. She's homeschooling her kids. And, you know, it's not a knock at the door. It's not a, hey, can we talk to you? Hey, we've got an issue. We're investigating some things. No. They bust through her door. They scare the living daylights out of her children who are being homeschooled. They handcuff her in front of her children. Again, she heard somebody pounding at the front door. The officers, according to Ms. Bishop, manhandled her son, 18-year-old son. Now, again, I want you to put yourself in her position, because we are all going to be in her position. The officers manhandled her 18-year-old son, according to Ms. Bishop, or 18-year-old daughter, I'm sorry, daughter, pulling her up the stairs by her hoodie, while another officer put her in handcuffs. They proceeded to search her entire house. Now, what was the reason for all of this? She's a frequent attendee at her local school board meetings, which we all should be, regardless. Hey, we're paying school taxes. Regardless, if we have a stake in our children's future. So she's a frequent attendee to the local school board meetings. She's been active in voter integrity, the movement for voter integrity. Oh, the horror, right? Both locally and statewide. She runs the website americasmom.net. And on that site, she features an article and video under the title, We the Parents, How Did We Get Here? Now, that's a great article. I'm not going to put it up. You can follow through that. Now, she said, look, I'm not guilty of anything except speaking my mind. Again, now, this is part of the bigger picture here. I cannot tell you, I cannot overstate the importance of this. And how this fits into the Great Reset, how this fits into the bigger picture, how this is playing out. Because almost right now, we have the roadmap. We can almost predict what's going to be taking place, because now we have the roadmap. We have a few exhibits here. We can see what's happening. We can see the players. We can see the movements on this national chessboard, but a global chessboard. Okay, hold on. Now, you're going to be saying, well, wait a second. They just can't break in and, you know, handcuff and search and all that without a predicate, without a reason, right? Oh, correct, right. But is the reason valid? What's the reason that they gave? What's on that search warrant? According to Leo Holman on the search warrant, they're looking for a computer. Let's see here. I just want to get this correct here. I was going to pull up the a copy of the docket, but I didn't have a chance to. The it has to do with computer issues. Let me get to the article. Where is it in the article here? I just saw it too. But it's these are not threats, no violence, no BLM / Antifa kind of activity. So again, this is what's that? Oh, thank you. Look at you, man, Eric the Tech. He's the man. She said the agents would not tell her why they were searching her home. Now, first of all. Having been part of the system back in the 90s, that's a no-no. You absolutely have to say, we are here. Here is the search warrant. We are properly executing it. These are what you, they don't have to read it to you. You can read it. They did leave behind documents related to the search warrant, saying they entered her home because she was suspected of causing intentional damage to a protected computer, wire fraud, and conspiracy to cause damage to a protected computer. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to comment on that except to say my only comment on that would be to say, look, that's a pretty high bar. And also, you realize that things, hey, Cheryl Atkinson, remember that? All of a sudden, things are on her hard drive that intrusion tracked to the feds. So you understand this could be misattribution, but Let's just say that there was probable cause. Is that the way to handle something like this? Especially in the face of Merrick Garland saying, hey, you know what? No, you got this all wrong. Biden, Psaki, you got it all wrong. We're going after the people who are actually threatening these people. And bear in mind, you've got the Scottsdale Unified School District out there, the president and his father, and ostensibly, allegedly, his brother, involved in creating dossiers on parents who are a little bit upset with the school board. But that's not happening just in the Scottsdale Unified School District. You've got it happening in other school districts in the larger cities. And it's in the name of pushing CRT, critical race theory. It's in the name of you will comply with our mask mandates. You will comply with whatever it might be. It is a control mechanism. So as much as this, and everyone should take notice of this woman, go to Worldview Weekend, worldviewweekend.com, and spread this. Again, the link will be available to you. Spread this everywhere you can, because now it is on. Yesterday, I asked about 1776. Is it time? I mean, if not now, when? Now, they have kicked this off. When I say they, I'm talking about the foot soldiers of the, and again, I use this word with caution, the satanic globalists, because there's a satanic agenda behind this globalism. They've kicked this war off. It's gone kinetic, at least for Ms. Bishop. It's kinetic. But it's going to get kinetic for all of us. Now, I'm going to pull back a little bit because this is the essence. This is how it all draws together. As usual, Sundance from Conservatory House did a fantastic, just a tremendously great article about the Rittenhouse trial and about really Kenosha in general. And yesterday we saw And the reason I said, the reason I want to make sure that you know that we don't have the verdict yet, the verdict doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, I accepted Kyle and his family. But in the larger scheme of things, it doesn't matter as much as, I don't mean to say it doesn't matter. It's not the number one issue with respect to what's in the minds of these plotters, planners, and schemers, and criminals and the criminal conspiracy. They'll work with either verdict. They're going to work with either one. So what's going on here? Why, for example, is Kyle Rittenhouse on trial? Forget the lead up to everything. Okay, just forget all that and just focus on what happened on that August night in Kenosha. Okay? Something bothered me about this that was introduced into trial. Yes, it was, obviously, it was the difference. The prosecution submitted a low-resolution video to the defense and actually had a high-resolution video that they did not turn over, which should account for a mistrial. But that aside, just put all the clutter aside for a moment. Go ahead and put that image up. This is what was bothering me, and it still bothers me to this day. It came out during the trial that there was drone footage. Now, there was not just drone footage, but FBI footage. Now, of course, how they got this, this appeared on, there are numerous videos. There was drone footage taken from a private contractor or a private entity. I shouldn't say contractor, private entity. Freudian slip there. That a couple of days later disappeared. But this and or other footage had been under some control. I'm not going to say this exact footage here that you're looking at, but because I can't authenticate this, I'm just taking people's word for it. But think about this. It has been submitted into evidence that the FBI / Department of Justice had surveillance of the Kenosha riots. Now let that sink in for a second. Your federal law enforcement authorities had surveillance, was conducting surveillance of the Kenosha riots. Now, it could be argued that, and we've seen this in the past, that the FBI perhaps was instigating or at least infiltrated some of the instigators of these riots. And you may say, well, that's just a bunch of bunk, you know. Folks, I'm going to prove something to you here. I'm going to take you down a road, and I want you to consider this. I want you to open your minds, because we are being played on such a scale, and I have not heard anybody mention this. Again, Conservatory House Sundance wrote about this, referenced this, but I want to take you a little bit deeper and give you an alternate scenario, citing historical context for what I'm telling you. Let's go to link number one. Did you know that the Department of Justice has a somewhat secretive, somewhat not so much known division called Community Relations Service? The acronym or short, CRS for short. Again, Community Relations Service. There it is right there on your screen. If you don't believe me, this is a Department of Justice division. And again, think about this in the larger sense. You got to think bigger, think outside the box, and understand how evil this satanic, this globalist, this leftist agenda is. So the Department of Justice, they've got this agency called, or this department called Community Relations Service. Okay. So I never heard of this before. So I got to digging on this. And of course, here is the landing page for CRS, Community Relations Service. Okay, let's take a look at this. We're going to scroll down. And the mission, our mission, America's Peacemaker. America's now anytime, again, against the backdrop of what you witnessed with the mom, you know, teaching homeschooling, and all of a sudden the FBI busts down her door. Okay, but hold the phone. Our mission. CRS serves as America's peacemaker for communities facing conflict based on actual or perceived race, color, national origin, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. Oh, man, this is a one-stop shop for everything. CRS works towards its mission by providing facilitated dialogue, mediation, training, and so on. You can read the whole thing at the About page at justice.gov about CRS. Well, how come I never heard about this? Well, let's, you know what, I guess maybe we did, but we just didn't really put things together. Our history. Well, Title 10 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 authorized CRS to assist communities facing disputes, disagreements, or difficulties relating to allegations of discriminatory practices based on race, color, or national origin. That's historically. Now they've expanded it, of course, to gender identity, gender, sexual orientation, religious, disability. I mean, you name it, man. They are in there. They are involved. It doesn't matter. They are involved. Of course, there's some really great pictures there. LBJ signing the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title 10, which established CRS. Oh, thank goodness LBJ to the rescue. We're good so far, right? In terms of, okay, color. You know, we don't, racism is ugly. But look at the next picture. Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama signs the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which expanded CRS's mandate. Huh? Wait a minute. Wait a second. Hold on a second. So it wasn't enough just to go in there, to go in different communities and such, and right, you know, to try to temper the disagreements and about race and such. No. We've got to expand this. So the mandate was expanded by Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, the hidden president in the basement. Now, think about this. How do you expand something like that? And the mandate, what would the mandate include in its expansion? All right, let's go down just a little bit more here. Let's dig a little deeper. Keep going. Oh, right there, our stakeholders. Let's take a look at who their stakeholders are. Now, CRS assists state and local governments, private and public organizations, educational organizations, law enforcement, tribal communities, community groups in resolving conflicts based on actual, now listen to this, based on actual or perceived race, color, national origin, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. Okay, so that sentence tells me they get involved in perceived. It doesn't have to be actual. It could be just perception, which gives them the ability to go anywhere, even just if there's a perception of a problem. So who are they tied up with? You can click on the boxes. Let's click on the first one, community groups. Community groups And you can go through, folks, you can find, they're a little bit cagey with the community groups. But there's really a gold mine in here, okay? Police, you know, other law enforcement agencies, really, and even, well, some community groups that you wouldn't think would be legitimate community groups. You can go back and click over to law enforcement agencies. You don't have to click there. That's fine. Let's go down to religious groups, shall we? Let's click on religious groups because, my goodness, we don't want to. You know, if there's like a hate crime against the Jewish synagogues, as there has been in New York City, we want to resolve that, don't we? Not so much because, again, you've got to dig to find this. Definitely look at some of the training brochures, some of the facilitator guides and program brochures to understand who they are partnering with. I'm not going to get into this at that granular level. And of course, oh, look, when you go back and click on educational groups, look at educational groups. So this I want to just spend just a skosh amount of time here on. CRS, again, a division of the Department of Justice, they provide support to public and private secondary schools, colleges, universities who are experiencing tension or conflicts based on actual or weight, perceived race, color, national origin, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. Some ways that they can assist is to facilitate programs that help students, parents, teachers, administrators identify the underlying issues of school conflicts. Okay. Ask Ms. Bishop if the CRS part of the Department of Justice reached out to her. If the CRS part of their mission, of course, as America's peacemaker, well, it doesn't sound like much of a peacemaking organization so far, right? But here's the kicker. As you really dig through this, when you find out how Barack Hussein Obama back in 2009 had increased the penetration or increased the mandate of this particular organization, you'll see that this is pretty much like an army. An army that infiltrates, an army of agents of the government that will infiltrate groups, organizations, and will co-opt groups and organizations in the name of being America's peacemaker, of course. So let's back up just a little bit. So what you have, Department of Justice, in 1964, they opened this a CRS, Community Relations Services, as America's peacemaker. All right, this sounds great because we want to resolve conflicts before they really happen, whether it's regardless, you know, at that time it was about race and such. And then in 2009, Obama comes in, expands their mandate as America's peacemaker to resolve conflicts, widen the menu of conflicts. Kenosha. Where were they in Kenosha? Where were they in Portland? Where were they in Seattle? Where were they in Los Angeles? Or we'll say Pittsburgh, when BLM activists, you know, walked through restaurants and terrified. Where was CRS? And what exactly is their mandate? If they're not visible, what exactly is their mandate? What are they doing? I think we need to find out, because in Kenosha, don't forget, and this is where that other that video frame comes in. Don't forget video from the FBI. The FBI was watching this whole thing in Kenosha. It came out in court. They saw everything that was going on. Now, here's my question to you. If they were watching this in real time, where were they watching it from? Why were they watching it? Well, because that's their job, right? To keep the peace. Where was the action by the FBI, by the Department of Justice, by CRS, the Community Relations Service? What were they doing? Well, obviously, there was some surveillance being conducted. But let me ask you this question. Could it be that this agency, like all other agencies, has been weaponized? I'm asking the question, has been weaponized by the Department of Justice. Again, much like Merrick Garland, well, he didn't do it. Actually, Biden did it, right? Well, no, he didn't do it. Actually, Obama did it. Well, Obama's just kind of the guy that does things. The front man in the basement, being the front man for the front man. But behind Obama, the cabal of globalists who want to destroy the West. And you might say, you know what? Man, you lost me. Number one, you lost me. Number two, you can't prove any of this crap. And number three, that would never happen because it just wouldn't happen. Oh, contraire. Let's go to Exhibit B, shall we? Now, this is a little history lesson. Well, recent history. Link to the weaponization of the Department of Justice. Link to, Eric the Tech, you can put on screen. The Washington Times article. Now, this is some older stuff here. This is from 2016. Undercover video shows Democrats saying they hire agitators to disrupt Donald Trump events. Now, this is October of 2016. This is before President Trump was elected President of the United States. Now, okay. Now, that headline is a little bit, to me, okay, that's kind of a vanilla headline. Democrats, undercover video shows Democrats saying they hire agitators to disrupt Donald Trump events. All right, so, okay. But as you start digging down into the information, you can scroll down just a tad, just a skosh, that's my new word of the day. Two top Democratic strategists have exited the presidential campaign after explosive undercover videos showed them discussing voter fraud and their roles in planting paid agitators at campaign events for Republican candidate Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to toss this out to you. What would happen if you found out, let's say, from this 2016 article, that some of the groups involved were actually partnered up with the Department of Justice, CRS? Huh? Would that surprise you? Would that be news? So you're telling me that the left, the Democrats, as listed here in the Times, partnered up, or they were actually sending out people to agitate the events for Donald Trump. And of course, we have the usual suspects, Robert Kramer, founder of Democracy Advocates and the husband of, I'm not going to read the article. You can read the article. The link will be in the program description box. But when you start digging down deep, all of a sudden you find, okay, wait a second. You've got a seemingly well-intended Department of Justice back in 1964 pushing against segregation, right? And Title 10 signed by Lyndon Johnson creating the CRS, the Community Relations Service. Yeah, okay, I get that, all right? So because we want to make things cool with respect to race, and you know, we don't want segregation and all that. And remember the word segregation. But then you got 09, you got Obama expanding the mandate for the Department of Justice entity known as CRS. And then you fast forward to 2016 and you find out, well, wow, over the last 7 years from 09 to 16, it looks like CRS has really partnered up with a lot of different non-governmental organizations, religious organizations, think tanks, and what have you. And you can check the affiliate status on CRS's website. And then all of a sudden you start saying, well, wait a second. Seems like some of these groups that are partnered up with, their stakeholders, are actually the ones causing some agitation. Eric the Tech, how am I doing? Okay.
Doing good.
All right, thanks, bud. So this got me thinking. The Rittenhouse situation in Kenosha, Portland, Seattle. Where was CRS? Because isn't that their mandate? Oh, I'll bet you they were there. I'll bet you that their stakeholders were there. Just not in the way you think they were. What about the school boards? What is, ostensibly, the October 4th Merrick Garland memo, we're coming after moms and parents for their threats. And finally, Tuesday, they make good on the threat by busting through the door of Sharona Bishop, handcuffing her in front of her children as she's homeschooling, handcuffing her 18-year-old daughter, taking a computer, saying, you know what? We're not going to tell you why we're doing this. Here, we'll leave this with you on our way out the door. That's a copy of the search warrant. That's not how it's done or supposed to be done. That to me, and Brandon House, thank you very much. God bless you. I'm going to call you later. Mike Lindell, thank you. That was the first shot, in my view, fired in this war that has gone kinetic. The Department of Justice, through various agencies, included but not limited to CRS, has actually fired the first shot in the war against parents, in the war against citizens of the United States, in a war they are highly charged, highly political, and they're the Gestapo, they're the Nazis, they're the Stasi of the left and of the globalists and of Barack Hussein Obama and whoever's pulling the puppet strings or whoever's got it, their hands so far up his backside. Those are the people that the Department of Justice is now weaponized, fully weaponized, and they're coming after you. And again, you might say, well, settle down. Because it doesn't happen. Two words, Bleeding Kansas. Heard of that? Got to go back a ways to the very contentious time in the 1800s, before the Civil War, but leading up to the Civil War. And I'm not going to get too deep into this, except to say, oh, it has happened before. Different actors, different federal or different agencies. And it's been perfected or refined since, but the Kansas-Nebraska Act and Bleeding Kansas. Folks, if you've never heard of Bleeding Kansas, sometimes known as Bloody Kansas, but Bleeding Kansas, you got to look into it. Because in this, you know, it's just keep that up there for a second, because some people might say, what? I wasn't sure exactly what you're talking about. But seriously, and I'm not making fun of you, because I had to look a lot longer. And I would not rely on Wikipedia. Do not go to Wikipedia to understand any of this. That picture up there is kind of an interesting cartoon for the day. The caption is "Forcing slavery down the throat of a free soiler," and of course, free soiler has you'll get the idea when you read the article. But it's interesting because right below the byline, it says, by the end of this section, you will, I would add, be able to, explain the political causes of the Civil War. Now, this is more like a teaching narrative. And they say, look, this author says, use this narrative with the election of 1860 narrative and the South Carolina secession debate of 1860. This goes over events from 1844 through 1860 and beyond. And the reason I cite this is because of all the events in our most recent, history, that's not really most recent, but history, this Kansas-Nebraska Act, the bloody Kansas, bleeding Kansas, whatever you want to, however you want to term it, what this does is it verifies that the states, again, forget about the federal government right at the moment, but the states, and you could, today you could probably interchange the weaponized Department of Justice, but the states send in agitators into Kansas, into Missouri. It's all in the article. It's all in the lesson. I brought this up to verify the fact that this has happened in the past where the government, in this case, state governments, but in current case, the federal government acting on behalf of the globalists are sending agent provocateurs into areas and deliberately creating chaos for a specific political end. And that political end in this case is to demand secession, obviously, but it's a mode to the Great Reset. So what have I said in this segment? You got a mom that's really the first mom, ground zero, patient zero, victim zero, victim one, whatever you want to call it, of this new kinetic war by the Department of Justice, a weaponized Department of Justice, the FBI, under the mandate of Merrick Garland, October 4 of 2021, saying, we're coming after you. We're coming after you, parents. We're coming after you, citizens who speak out. We're going to shut you up, and we're going to. So they just made an example. You want to talk at a school board? You want to do this? Guess what? Here's Sharona Bishop's number. Call Ms. Bishop. See how she liked it. Oh. So you're not gonna stop. Take your bank accounts. We're going to civil asset for whatever is needed. We're going to do whatever is possible to shut you down. Because you know why? Because we are having an effect. We are causing them fear. When you look back in history and you look at the 1840s and the wild, wild west of during that time, right? And you see the same type of actors, different names, different situation, but the same type of actors, the same playbook that led up to the Civil War. In fact, many could argue, given the historical significance of Bleeding Kansas, this involving slavery, again, hot button issue of the day, that was all about slavery, pro-slavery, abolitionists and such, but you get the idea, right? To exacerbate the divide, it's right there. The army, their army, back in 1844, yeah, the uniforms have changed. The causes to some extent have changed. So instead of just directly intervening, no, we've got the Department of Justice through, again, this is my hypothesis, and leave me a comment. Tell me what you think. After you dig down and look at the Community Relations Service of the Department of Justice, look at the mandates, look at the shareholders and stockholders, I should say, stakeholders, that is, in their terms. Look at who they're partnered with. What are they doing? Are they overt? Are they visible in Portland, Seattle, Kenosha, No. No. Are they there? One can argue that. Well, why'd you say that? Again, why would you say that? Look at the expanded mandate of Barack Hussein Obama. And isn't it something, all of a sudden, we have what? Biden, which really Obama's third term, Biden, Mr. Potato Head, the guy doesn't know. You don't think I know what day it is? And I gotta look, he doesn't even know his own name, all right? Mr. Poopy Pants, whatever. So you don't think Obama, who hasn't left D.C., Valerie Jarrett and others, aren't really propping these people up? Don't forget, Biden won by 81, or with 81, the most popular guy in history. By the way, his ratings are worse than any other president. And Kamala Harris, oh my goodness, 28% approval rating? Are you kidding me? But don't let that fool you. Look, we're being played. And I want to thank the not only Sundance and Conservative Treehouse, but some of the people who comment. Very, very, very good and insightful comments and such, which got me thinking. Exactly. This is what's happening. So when I say the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict really doesn't matter, it does matter. Of course it matters. But to the globalist plotters, planners, conspirators, they'll work with whatever they get. If they can't compromise somebody on the jury, if the noise on the second floor of the jury, on the second floor of the courthouse where the jury's meeting, if the noise from the demonstrators don't sway one or two of the jurors, don't worry about it. All right, we'll handle it. Regardless, we're going to send in, it doesn't matter. We're going to send in the agitators regardless. To what end? Well, crackdowns, martial law. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. Okay, go back to the 1800s, right? And understand how that played out. Go back to 16 to see the damage they tried to cause President Trump and look at it today. Randy Taylor. It's been a long, long time. People have been asking about Randy Taylor. People have been saying, hey, Randy Taylor, where are you? And other people say, you know what? You guys had a fight. And we did. We had a fight over the color of the toaster in his kitchen. And it was just never the same since, right? No, no. Randy Taylor, how are you?
I am very good, sir. How are you?
Let me check.
Am I coming in loud and clear, my friend?
Yeah. Am I? Can you hear me? Is this thing on?
Oh yeah, I've been listening to you, and you're dead on with this stuff.
So
absolutely dead on.
What's with the mullet? I'm kidding. Of course, I'm kidding.
No, I just, you know what? I decided to grow the hair long for some of that stuff we got coming up there in the second quarter of next year.
I hear you.
So I'll blend a little better in public, sir.
One of the most lethal guys I know, but I'll leave that for another day.
I'm the chameleon, remember?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Well, first of all, let me just say welcome back. The reason for your absence has not been anything other than stuff.
It's been medical stuff. There's my best friend here, my IV. The things have been a little crazy. You guys know what happened back in March of this year, and apparently when they did the scans, they missed the infection that was in, had already gotten into the bones. So that's kind of what we're fighting right now. And but it's like I told my friend Doug, I said, I'm good from the waist up. So
now
you can beat me in a foot race.
Well, that's not where my mind was going right there, but okay. But you're good. You okay, Eric the tech?
I was asking
Eric because he was over there. I'm not sure if he's you okay. Okay, he was.
They can't hear that.
Okay.
What did he say?
They said they can't hear that. He's over there snorting, I think. But anyway, no, it's good to see you, Randy Taylor. It's good to see you, and I'm sure the
You were really you were. you were really going there.
Did you hear some of that part of it, or most of it?
Oh, I've heard. I logged in around noon.
All right. Yeah, again, folks, understand the verdict is not in. This is being pre-recorded for tonight. But again, really, the verdict doesn't matter. But we have some issues that I wanted to get Randy on. So, but yeah, yeah.
But so. You're absolutely right, because when they do these things, they are ready to roll either way. As you said, you described that perfectly. You're not going to catch them with their pants down, so to speak.
Right.
The master manipulators behind everything that we're seeing. I mean, it's the sad part. I think what really, really bothers me is the FBI and Department of Justice used to be a halfway decent outfit. And I don't know. The big change that I saw in that organization and several organizations that are tied in with it that are within the U.S. government. I saw the biggest changes during Obama's presidency. Things really started to change. And the FBI used to be the guys that, you know, you get a fair shake, you know, everything was done right. That's not the case anymore. In fact, when we were working years past, many times in the FBI, I know I'd call up Doug and say, I don't understand. You know, I gave them all this information and they just sat back and let the person get killed. They let the crime happen.
And this is real Tom Clancy stuff. I want to tell people.
It is. It sounds Tom Clancy, but it's so real.
It's real.
Folks, we used to look at it 20 years ago and think, you know, Tom Clancy, this is a conspiratorial thing. No, it's real. It's been proven that it's real. We're not conspiracy theorists anymore. We don't even have to put that label on. They don't even bother calling us that anymore, because they constantly prove us correct. Constantly. And a lot of what kills me is that they'll say, the FBI broke up a terror plot today. Really? You mean the FBI talked them into doing it, supplied them with the stuff to do it, and then arrested them for doing it?
There you go.
I mean, they're the kings of entrapment. Absolutely the kings. I any case with the FBI that goes to court anymore, I'm surprised it doesn't get tossed, except that our legal system is fried too. We're just, the FBI has turned into, as far as I'm concerned, like the FSB in Russia. They're the enforcement arm for the globalist.
Okay, so
because you can't.
Yeah, I just want to make sure the people who are joining me and who don't know your history, just real quick, folks. Randy Taylor, intelligence analyst. He's got a long history involved from military to intelligence, and he was like me. So in the 90s, like I was an informational operational asset with the Department of Justice and the FBI. He was in a different category, different things, doing different things.
My specialty was the Middle East.
There you go. Okay.
Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all these, Al-Qaeda and ISIS being basically the same thing.
And I think it's important. Wait a second. I think it's important. You said something here, and it's the FBI back then, although there were some bad aspects. Some
players, yes.
You know, back in the 90s. It's nothing like, I mean, what were few then are many now. And
and it's obvious now.
Yeah.
Back then, they at least tried to hide it.
Yeah.
The real decline of the FBI that I can say, that I can put my finger on to where I was, you know, nearby and could witness it, was under Mueller. That's why I was so surprised when they brought Mueller out to go after President Trump. Because I'm like, this guy is dirty like laundry. You know, Robert Mueller, I told him to his face, you're dirty.
I know you're
dirty. Well, there's certain things that they just can't ever remove from my memory. And, you know, and it's documented stuff. This is stuff that I've documented for my own well-being, for my own safety. Just because I know these guys, something is really wrong. And everybody knows that something is really wrong with our government today.
Yeah.
And it's been wrong for a while. And we're just sitting back doing nothing And it's just going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse. They're pushing everybody in the U.S. And I'm going to say this for Canada, too, because Doug and I were talking about Canada. I've got interests up there. There's a lot going on in North America that scares me, because I don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to fix it. Where it's leaning toward would be a bloody end, but we don't, you know, I'm talking legally. I mean, we're law-abiding Christian citizens. I pray about this every day. Please, Lord, give me an answer, something. Give me something to work with here, because right now I'm just shooting in the dark. I'm not sure what direction to even go. We're watching these things unfold. And here's the thing, they're doing it in such little pieces that the average Joe, forget the people who listen to this show, you people are hip, you're in tune. As far as I'm concerned, you're awake. I don't know what everybody else calls awake, but the Hagman listeners are awake, and God bless you for it. But there's a lot of people, your neighbor, for instance, that these little things, one by one, the lockdown, we're talking about control, submission, government control, citizen submission. You got your lockdowns, masks, shots. Now we're getting into this huge thing about school curriculums, which really should have been addressed years and years and years ago. And I think that parents absolutely, 100%, without fail, have the right to approve what the children are taught in school. Okay, and this little debate started way back with the Darwin theory, you know, evolution versus the Bible. I'm sure everybody remembers there was years and years of debate about that. Churches, the way they penalize churches now, they basically say you're going to do this and not do this, or you're not going to get your tax exemption. And stop and think about that. Okay, that's how the churches survive. The university studies, they have corrupted that, 40 years ago, Doug? How many years ago did they really start corrupt? 50 years? Yeah, where did we really see the turn in the universities? Because they've gone to communism is cool. And it's basically what they're teaching.
Remember the communist sit-ins of the 60s, right? And of course, you know, everything began to change, really, I think. At least in my view, with respect to the curriculum, you can go back early 1900s, but you know, with Dewey and such. But I mean, for a real hard press, full court press, you've got to look at active measures being taken against our schools, our infiltration of the Maoist Marxist doctrines, mm-hmm. and such, and that really took root. It was planned way before, and the infrastructure was built, but. Really took root back in the 60s, but then I digress.
I was going to say, I would say mid to late 60s is when it got a really good toehold in here.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like with Vietnam and the protests and all that. All that stuff was a distraction while they were doing these other things, and our government's notorious for that. Allowing when you get into these, the riots in Portland, riots in Seattle, anything like that, the first thing that this family does is we go, okay, what's going on somewhere else? Because they allow this stuff as a distraction. That's just my humble opinion. And this community relations service, that I really, Doug, I only heard a blip about that. And I think it was after 9/11, where it wasn't the FBI really focusing on the Muslim communities.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only place I really picked that up. So what you dug up there today and were reading to us, that was educational to me. That was super what you were doing when I was sitting on standby. You're nailing it right on the head, man.
Well, I mean, it took me a long time to really kind of dig into that. And I got to tell you, brother,
but you took something that's very simple. It's like I was saying, they don't hide it anymore.
No,
that's not hidden. That's on a website, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. It's like, they have no shame anymore whatsoever. And when you talk about civil rights, that is one of the dumbest phrases I've ever heard of. And I'll tell you why. We don't observe civil rights in this country. What did you just say? No, we don't. not if you're white. Okay? We're having a real problem with who is the recipient of the rights. Everyone should have civil rights. They should be equal. But I get to read about a shooter in Texas that shoots people at a school and then later that day posts a $75,000 bond, a black guy, and walks away. Do your Kyle Rittenhouses and these guys get that same luxury? Is not a black man walking into a school and shooting people, isn't that a hate crime? It's like when you watch the videos of the black girls on the bus beating up the white girl on the school bus. Not a word said. But let that be four white girls beating up on a black girl, and suddenly it's a civil rights issue. We cannot have equal rights in this country and equality until there is equality. Doesn't that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I appreciate
this,
that.
This is one of the things that's troubled me no end, is they scream about white privilege. Where is this white privilege? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I've had black friends throughout my life. I was in the military. So you're obviously going to mix and mingle with a lot of people. And they're still my friends today. And the funny thing is they think that all of what we're seeing is crap too. They want to be recognized for working hard, having a family, going to church, being a productive member of the community. Okay. I got a buddy and I'll leave his name out. Just a friend I've had since I was in the military. And he gets more irritated about it than I do, because he feels like he's being patronized. He's a black guy. And he feels like he's being patronized. And he's disappointed because the man who's got a wife.
Let me just interrupt one thing. Go ahead and take this for a couple of minutes. I have a situation here at the studio. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. All right, so we'll talk about that. Let's see. This critical race theory, this is something that's really, really been bothering me, because I don't understand. Let me just give you a little instance here. And I'm not going to say, you know, where I'm located at this present time or anything, but I will say that I have a child in school here locally. And on Veterans Day, you know, we're going back and we're looking at the memorials and this and that, World War II and all this. And the principal of her school, I guess, decided to rewrite history. And so he puts out this little blurb and reads it on the thing in the morning, the PA system. And it was how the Muslims and the Indians fought in World War II. Not one single mention of a white soldier or even a black soldier. All foreigners. But I was just stunned at what I was told. So they rewrite history. Remember, we were talking about the books, people. Remember this. When I tell you, grab books and keep them. Stick them in your basement. Stick them in a closet. Don't throw them out, because digital history is being changed every day, right now, while we're sitting here. History is being changed digitally. And what Doug said about Wikipedia, please, he is absolutely right. Remember, Wikipedia is edited by just people. I can go in and edit Wikipedia. I have gone in and edited Wikipedia many, many years ago. We were taking a hit for something. I forget, but whoever had written stuff about this organization, Hagman, the Hagman organization, had put down some just outright lies. It was ridiculous. And I went in, edited it, and then somebody from Wikipedia contacted me, and all they said was, can you, you know, do you have proof? I submitted the proof. Boom, it was done. What I had said was now gospel. And to be honest with you, it's probably still on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is not a good source. Wikipedia is no more than a reference of many references.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm back in. But go ahead. Continue, please.
So Doug is absolutely right on that. There's anybody can go in and change it, provided they can't. And I'll tell you right now what helps. If you want to put something on Wikipedia, be a donor. I'm just telling you. Your donor dollars will get you rights that you never imagined. And you can, I've seen it. I've seen people slandered, organizations slandered on Wikipedia with absolutely no verifiable proof. None. Reputations destroyed. Or people scrambling to save their reputation because of something put on Wikipedia. So that's enough on Wikipedia. There's a lot better sources out there. It's nice for a reference point, but do not take anything for gospel that comes off those pages.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's for sure. And I appreciate you having my back here. I just had a...
I always have your back, sir. You know that. What do you think's going to happen on this Rittenhouse thing? You had some really good insights earlier when we were talking on the phone.
Well, you know, and folks, you know, if you're following the Arbery trial.
Off and on. I'm trying to do between the two of them.
Right.
But the Arbery thing is nuts. I think that it started out with some people, a couple guys wanting to do the right thing, and it got carried away.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I see it. It would be no different than if there were robberies or, and robberies is the wrong word, burglaries and thefts going on construction sites. Having been in the construction business myself, you can lose a lot of money due to theft on construction sites. That's why when my guys were out, I told them, don't leave it on the site, pack it up and bring it back with you. I'll pay extra to unload the truck every day. Don't leave stuff there because they'll clean you up. And there's people out there they've caught, have built entire houses from stuff they've stolen from construction sites.
You know, yeah. And which brings me to the other point, okay, which kind of overlaps into the Rittenhouse trial. You know, I've read so much, seen so much, heard so much about this. Well, if he wouldn't have gone there with a gun, he was kind of provoking things. That's what some people say. You know, the Muppets that he shot would still be alive. Okay. And when I say Muppets, you know, I'm not trying to be demeaning to human life, but you gotta check their histories, their criminal histories. But that said, okay.
No loss.
Yeah. So, with respect to the trial itself, just a couple of quick observations. I really think that the prosecution is guilty, in my view. This is my opinion based on sitting through and being involved in really hundreds of trials on the state and federal levels, criminal and civil. I think the prosecution is guilty of prosecutorial misconduct in a number of levels. And withholding or deliberately deceiving the defense with respect to the one video that they had as a high-res video and submitted a low-res video, which really, in the scheme of things, really didn't make that much of a difference. However, the act of doing so tells me that they are really ramping into... they're taking orders, I think. And when you look at the structure, the DA, the mayor, and whoever else, it's all related. I mean,
they're playing dirty pool, definitely. Yeah. And we have to look at what you were saying with the FBI being there and having video. I mean, geez, once again, the FBI in the middle of something.
What are the odds?
It's like, Doug, let's remember back in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
The bombing.
Yep.
Why were the federal agents a block away?
Oh, you know what? They were having coffee.
Oh, boy, I just hit one right there. Remember, God, I remember what they did to you, brother. You were so on that. And this is another thing of our history, people. It's been swept under the carpet.
This has been going on a long time, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald, swept under the carpet.
Yep.
Timothy McVeigh, sweep it under the carpet. The guy out there at the, was it MGM in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Boy, we don't hear much about that, do we?
Wasn't that one of the most, I mean, for such a high loss of souls that day, there was no airtime.
No.
Think about that. If that had been And so then I even go back and look there. Who was involved with who? I know that there was some Saudi involvement somehow in the hotel. There's different ownerships. There's questionable things. Swept. Now, I know that, yes, Las Vegas, Arena, I know that their Metropolitan Police Department are experts at toning things down because they want the tourist flow through there. They don't want to scare people away. But, man, I have never seen toning down like that. That was amazing. What was the body count? What was the soul count? 50?
A lot.
It was a lot, but I mean, enough that there should have been, there would have been a lot more press coverage if there weren't players behind the scenes burying things.
Right. Right.
You know, there was a kibosh put on that. Boom. Don't talk about it. And I was just really surprised. It's just one. And you have to sit there and think the FBI gets involved in this stuff. They are often on these false flags. In my humble opinion, they're often the instigators. They're the engineers and the instigators. Absolutely. They'll find a group.
Yeah.
They'll find a group of five morons that drank a lot and, you know, sit around in their clubhouse or whatever. And they'll infiltrate that group. And then they'll come up with the, hey, why don't we go kidnap the governor of Michigan?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
I mean, let me just throw another. That's another little stinker there. We consider, Doug, between you and I, we could probably bounce this back and forth and come up with 30 or 40 incidents that it just really stinks mightily on where the FBI's involvement was in it.
And, you know, let me toss one more out since we're naming things. How do you remember, and how many remember? I'm just going to start singing Downtown by Petula Clark. Okay, what does that remind you of? December 25th of last year, Nashville, yes. Tennessee. Okay, Anthony Quinn Warner sets off a bomb. What was that all about? Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, okay.
This is the thing. These are the guys that are supposed to be protecting us. My idea of protecting us is not entrapment. Anyone could go in and talk to five morons and talk them into doing something. You could. And the other thing with the FBI, they throw money around. Be advised. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, people don't talk about that, though. They, and don't ask me how, and I'm going to get myself in trouble saying this.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Say it.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and say it because I know I've been part of it. They pay cash. Yep. Cash is not, their cash payments are not reported to the IRS.
Nope.
Oops. And I'm giving you my word. That's a fact. It's not reported to the IRS. So I want you to think about that. Think about, it's one thing talking people into it. What if you were paying people to do it?
Randy Taylor, folks, after an extended absence, back with us, and it's good to have him back. And
information. They wanted me to infill. They came to me, and I'm up to my eyeballs in Middle Eastern terror, trying to protect our troops, homeland, our Five Eyes countries. I'm just a busy man. And then these guys come to me and go, would you care to infiltrate some white supremacist Ku Klux Klan groups? No. No.
Well, you look the part, right? Just the toss
of
shield.
Yeah, I know, but they came and asked me, and I was like, you're out of your tree. I said, okay. I said, am I allowed to be armed? No. I said, well, that's out the window. Yeah, you know me, Doug. If I'm armed, I'd take on the world. But you're going to stick me in the middle of Alabama somewhere in the middle of the night as an informant? I don't think so, boys. But once again, what could they have turned that into? And we're still, that was in 2002, and they were on about the white supremacist thing. Now, think about this. What are they on about today? still? What's the biggest threat to the U.S., Doug?
Oh, hey, today it's white supremacy, right?
Think about that. This was back in 2002. We had just had buildings taken down. We're going to war. And they're sitting at my living room table wanting me to infiltrate white supremacist groups. You know, get together with them and see, you know, I said, what do you want me to do? We'll get together with them and see if they'll plan something. That would entail me suggesting something to these people and then prodding them along and then having the FBI come in and supply all the goods and make a bust. That's not a real bust. That wasn't even a real crime. When you see these things, these are not real crimes. Okay. If Bozo the Clown showed up on downtown in New York City with a backpack full of donuts that he thought was bombs supplied by the FBI, the only crime that happened there was what the FBI did.
Good waste of donuts.
Yeah. I'm surprised they let him go. Okay. Must have been some stale donuts. But you see the point that, in other words, there wasn't even a crime. So what are we talking about? The only crime was what they committed.
That's right.
And I know they've sat around and watched when people got wasted, when I told them, this guy's going to get hit. And they did nothing.
That, you know, knowing the back side of that, when you turn over actionable intelligence and giving them enough time, enough lead time, and you say, look, this person, this building, this location at this date on this time, that's a target, and you hand it over.
This is a go.
Yeah, and you hand it over.
And they go, okay.
Thank you.
And then a couple, so I'm thinking, yeah, maybe they're doing something. And then a couple of days later, I'm watching a video where the guy's being assassinated next to his car. And I'm like, what? I told you guys, this man would be alive.
Yep.
You know, and don't tell me you couldn't stop this. It was, you know, he's American. He's a ambassador. It's a phone call, man. Anyway, so when the FBI run around, pat themselves on the back, and I'll tell you right now, all of this stuff that you saw happen against Donald Trump that had the FBI signature on it, that should tell. If you pull the politics out, I understand a Democrat going, I hate Trump and that FBI did this and they proved that. And all, because in your shallow little peanut head, you probably think that's true. But when you sit down and look at the roles that the FBI played in the coup against President Trump, the duly elected president by the people, what they did was criminal, every bit of it. They knew that dossier was crap. I don't understand why Christopher Steele is not in jail. If you or I did that, Doug, we'd be in jail.
Oh, yeah. Or Adam Schiff, who's still clinging to this stuff, you know?
And the thing with Schiff, the way Schiff slid out of it, and you got to get credit for it. The reason he was able to say all those things, because at no time was he under oath. Technicality, but you would think that any time you were on the floor of Congress or the Senate, that you should be bound to truth. And Schiff just everything. Doug, we haven't fixed the election yet.
Yep.
We still haven't fixed that. How and everybody's zeroing in on the 2022. Well, how do you know it's going to be a fair election? We're still down in Arizona scraping stuff out of those machines. How? Please tell me how we're ever going to have a real fair election anymore. Tell me how I'm supposed to respect the people that are in seats now when I don't even know that they legitimately were put in there.
Exactly.
How? So we just go, oh, well, we're working on it. We promise that this has been taken care of. We promise that there'll be election integrity. I'm sorry. Your word is no good. I'm just waiting for someone from the FBI to step up and go, well, we're going to run the elections from now on just to ensure integrity. Great. Now I'm moving to Cuba. Yeah, you know, the whole thing, we are so fried right now.
Yep.
That, and I understand people getting frustrated. I understand people talking about marching on Washington. Trust me, there's some days I want to march on Washington or wheel myself on Washington. But I'm getting fed up. I'm getting really fed up. And I'll tell you, as I get older, I get more fed up. Because this is not what I poured my blood, sweat, and tears into, the country that I'm looking at. This is not what, and I look at all the veterans out there, and there's got to be some who are just heartbroken. This is not, when they went to war, when they lost friends, they lost limbs themselves, you know, they damn near died for this, for these people to take this and to corrupt it and destroy it right before our very eyes. And just because the government says that that makes it okay, the government saying, well, we're doing this for you. You know what? Biden's talking about hiking taxes. Okay.
What a surprise.
We're already overtaxed. We are so overtaxed right now. And I want you to think about this. The Revolutionary War was primarily over politics and taxation without representation.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have any representation. This is a joke. It's a sick joke. I just about had a stroke when I saw that he/she thing promoted to admiral. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, this is supposed to be the United States of America. This is supposed to be the beacon of what is good in this world. And we are not. People look at us around the world and go, what in the heck is going on there? And it's getting really interesting between Biden and Harris. Because everybody, you know, you go on social media and this and that, everybody is impeach Biden, impeach Biden, impeach Biden. I say, slow down. Because if you impeach Biden and you were to knock him out of office, then what do we have?
Hey, heels up, man. 28% approval rating right now.
Exactly. And the thing that bugs me, you know how... Remember back when we were fighting with Iraq, when they had gone into
Kuwait. Yeah.
And the road of death, the highway of death going back. And then people asked, why didn't we go in and take out Saddam Hussein? And it was a clear answer, which is well said, because if we took him out, we thought that possibly his brother would take over. And he was even worse. And Saddam Hussein was at least an evil we felt we could control. I kind of look at Biden the same way. He's pretty much a knucklehead, okay? Yeah. He's senile, nutter in a fruitcake. But we almost know what to expect with him. And when you look at far right, far left, Biden actually is closer to the middle than most of the people in the Democrat Party.
Well, that's true. But Biden, I don't think, is calling any shots. He's just reading a teleprompter and stuff. But, yeah.
Okay. But what would happen if Harris was there?
Oh, believe me, I agree with you.
We'd be at war in no time. I mean, that's where we're eventually heading, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, these people... The way the big money's made when you're a friend of a politician is war. Okay. That's when your General Dynamics and all these big companies, they get to do Halliburton's, these types. That's when they cash in, is when we're at war. So everything Biden did right after the election, we talked about it last year. We knew what he was going to do. We knew that there was going to be the withdrawals. We knew that they were going to create hot spots in the Middle East, just waiting for an eruption. Anybody that thinks that Al Qaeda's done with us, you're out of your mind. In fact, business might get good for me. if Biden stays on present course. I mean, we can go back and just reopen shop, pull out our old notes and do it again.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where we're heading. There's a certain, and I hate to use the word status quo, but there's a certain place that Democrats like the United States to be. And it is civil disagreement.
Yep.
Racial divide.
Yep.
And military conflict.
I would say, look, Democrats, yes, but more.
Even the Republicans,
yeah,
they're as bad.
Yeah, it's the globalist class, the party of Davos, if you will, as Steve Bannon talks about, party of Davos,
which goes back to George Bush Sr.
Yep.
That just I have to say, the day he died, I did not shed a tear. There was almost like a bit of relief, except once again, we know this evil. Who's the next evil? And I'm still not 100% who took over for Bush Sr., but he was one of the architects and executors of the globalist movement. It bothers me that so many people are like, oh, well, that's not so bad. I mean, European leaders are talking about it. You know, and when you say the Great Reset, we don't even know everything that entails, but it's not going to benefit the people. The governments will benefit. I don't know. I'm worried about where the U.S. dollar is. U.S. dollar, if they quit trading in U.S. dollars right now, if somebody wants to buy oil, they got to use U.S. dollars. That's the standard
reserve.
Yeah, what happens though when that's no longer the currency, the currency of the realm? Man, the U.S. will crash. Look at inflation rates, guys. Forget what they're saying right now about 3%, 4%, 5%. Inflation, if you ask me, is probably closer to 11% or 12%. Groceries.
Yep.
Groceries. Here, and I'm gonna point something out. This is gonna probably make some people angry, but. From an economic standpoint, and I'm almost 60 years old. I worked for minimum wage when I was a kid. Raising minimum wage to $15 an hour is a mistake. Let me tell you why. I want the people that work at McDonald's and all that to be able to make a living. But the only way, if you got a guy that's making, or a gal, whoever, and she's doing 10 bucks an hour right now, kick her up to 15. That's a substantial raise. Okay. So we say 30%. Am I right? Okay. You're sitting there and you are making currently $16 an hour. Are you going to get a 30% bump?
Good.
You're making, here's one for you. And this is truth. People, pay attention to what I'm telling you right this minute. Okay. History has taught us. If you're making, say, 50 grand a year, are you going to get a 30% bump? The guy at McDonald's did that can't get a piece of cheese on the fish. Okay. Are you going to get that bump? No. But bear in mind that the loaves of bread, the gallons of milk, the petrol and fuel you're putting in your car, the groceries at the store are all based on that minimum wage.
And there you have it. And people need
to understand. It's that simple, okay?
Yeah.
Hip, hip, hooray. The guy got a raise to $15 an hour. But the whole thing about $15 an hour, people weren't supposed to do McDonald's working at the counter. Ranger.
It's all right, man. Just perked up. Okay, go ahead. We got about a minute, brother.
Okay. But look at that and understand that if you were outside of that minimum wage situation, you just took a hit if they gave them $15 an hour. And it's a savage hit because you're going to be the one that can't afford groceries in 6 months.
That's a good point.
And that $15 an hour is a band-aid. You want to know why? Because everything will swell around it and they're going to have the same discussion next year and go, well, we think it should be $18 an hour. Really? Well, you did so well with the 15. Thank you. You know, we're like a bunch of jackasses trying to pull a wagon. This is ridiculous. Anyway, I am so thrilled that you allowed me back on the show.
No, allowed you. No, man. I'll tell you what. Let's do this again.
I missed, yes, absolutely. I'm available whenever you would like. I'm feeling much better. Folks, thank you for the prayers. Thank you.
Randy Taylor, good night, folks. Have a great evening.